Okay, Jim, controversial. Not everybody's going to agree with you. You do have a go at LGBT. You do have a go at most things. You don't agree with anybody. And not a lot of people agree with you these days. And you're on about these 25,000 supporters you have in South Down. So I have to accept that. You're the elected MLA for that area. I also note that as an MLA, you're not effective because you're not in government. And also, you're not effective because you're not a key member of the DUP anymore. So I wonder, just wonder, what you do and who you do represent and how it works for you. And you assure me that you go to meetings all the time and whatever, but how do you get decisions across when you're not in government? And that niggles me. And it's not just you, but it's the rest of the MLAs. It just worries me because nothing, if you ask the general public out there, nothing is getting done.
Well, Kevin, first of all, nobody's in government, so you can't criticise me for not being there. Secondly,
I generalise that question.
Secondly, there is an important representative role. Now, I've spent most of my time since Christmas doing DLA, PIPs and ESA tribunals. I have to say, I've done maybe 30, 29 of them successful. Those are very intensive. I do planning appeals. I do housing constituency issues.
You're working as a consultant now.
I'm working as a constituency representative, which is a very important role for MLAs, which is often forgotten about. I'd ask you to interview some of the people that I have worked for, and they'll give you a rather different impression of what I'm doing on the ground. But I want to get back into Stormont. I want to also take part in the legislative and scrutiny role of the executive. But unfortunately, it's not my fault that has happened. I would be back tomorrow morning, but the Sinn Féin representatives simply won't return.
Do you think there's a way back with the DUP? Certainly, is there a way back with the leader, Arlene Foster?
No, I don't think so. But I do have a lot of support within the party, and a lot of MPs and senior officials of the party would regularly ring me privately and discuss things with me. So I'm content that I still have that close relationship with them.
Have you tried to talk to Arlene Foster?
Oh, yes, I have, yes.
And in what way? By letter?
No, we met the party officers on the 28th of October 2018. We agreed a second meeting. That second meeting has yet to be held. It's only 9 months later, so I'm patient. I'm patient.
So you have an opportunity now to ask her, because I'm sure she'll listen to this interview. So why not talk to her now?
I suspect that...
Go on, have a chat with her now. Seriously. Just a quick message to her.
I am certainly no intention of having a debate with Arlene Foster, the party leader, who's having a difficult time because she's under such pressure from so many different issues. My door's always open. I'm more than happy to discuss things with the party. But I'm enjoying my role of being out there representing constituents and also speaking out on issues which I feel are important, issues that you don't agree with, and I'm sure many of your listeners do, but there are still many thousands of people in Northern Ireland who agree with traditional family values, and they have a right to have a spokesman.
I witnessed family values. I witnessed families on Saturday in Newry at the Pride Parade. Everybody was out on the street and not one objector. And for the concert itself, the guts of 4,000 people enjoying hugely successful concert in Newry. And also, if you talk to the businesses in Newry, they all did very well as well because lots of visitors came in to Newry. So how does that not work for a community, and how is that not working for a family when it was good, clean entertainment, good, clean fun on the day?
Well, certainly I wouldn't have had my family at it, Kevin, and there'd be many thousands like me. Secondly, I noticed, I was in Newry last week, how few of the shops had obeyed orders to bedeck their fronts with gay flags, rainbow colours.
Well, see, I think you're wrong there, because that was very evident on the way around, and I was in the parade.
No, Kevin, you must distinguish between what was on the lampposts and what shops voluntarily...
Well, the shops were out in support. Yeah. The shopkeepers were out applauding the people in the parade.
I checked... At least 80% of the shops in Newry had decided not to affiliate.
Well, Jim, I was there on the day. You weren't.
Well, I was there but 2 days before the event.
Why were you not there on the day?
Because I totally object to what was happening in Newry on Saturday. Totally object to it. And Kevin, what you can't get around in your head is, I have a right to believe that. And there are many sincere, moderate people in Northern Ireland.
Maybe that's the issue here, that you don't appreciate that the majority of people have the right to maybe think differently, and you should respect that a little bit better than you do.
Yeah, but Kevin, I have a right to articulate my views, and people like Roy.
You don't listen to anybody else's.
Because my views are well held. Similarly, Roy Rafferty, who's the leader of the gay community in Newry, who I've debated with, he holds his views. He's not going to move one inch towards me or vice versa. But my views...
You did sing together at Christmas.
That's putting it a bit much. I sung in a crowd with which he was present.
You stood alongside him and sang, and actually the harmonies were excellent, and two very good singers.
Well, Kevin, why I was doing that was, as you know, there's a sit-out for the Southern Area Hospice, a wonderful charity for Christmas. At the end of that, the community are asked to come and gather round and give the gentleman who stands outside for so many days their support. More than pleased to do that.
As was Rory as well. And at the end of the day, they were there to try and help, and they do a lot of good in the community.
I will pass on that particular question.
We were there that day doing the same thing, so you can't condemn somebody for coming out and trying to help the community that they live in.
They represent the 1% of the population who
represent a huge. They've got huge support in the area, and that was very evident on Saturday.
They represent the 1% of the population who.
I don't think it's 1%.
Kevin, last year in Northern Ireland there were 8,632 weddings and 91 civil partnerships. The ratio was 88-1. That's the quantum.
That's another issue.
Yes, but what I'm saying to you is, Kevin, if there's only 91 civil partnerships, that indicates to me there are very small numbers of people who perceive themselves as LGBT in Northern Ireland. But they're very dominant in the media because people like yourself have taken to them and have become evangelical proponents of
it. It's as simple as this. Everybody has the right to express themselves in whatever way they want to, as long as they're law-abiding.
Well, the problem is, you saw on Monday morning on Piers Morgan's show...
let's talk about that.
No, I don't have a right to even speak about my views on national media. I was shut down completely and harangued and bullied and humiliated.
Do you not think partially and mainly that was due to your own comments that you made? Everybody was shocked and surprised. We weren't here in Northern Ireland because we're used to that.
Kevin, I didn't even get a chance to make any comments. The moment I went onto the programme, I was harangued by Susanna Reid and our friend Piers Morgan. And I didn't even get a chance to put my point of view. But even if I had, there are still opinion polls which show about 30% of the people in the United Kingdom agree with me. And whether we are minority or not, I have a right to articulate that point of view. It's legitimate. It's normal, and it has a right to be heard.
And at one stage you were called an old bigoted dinosaur.
That's right. Now, would you use that phrase if you were interviewing me?
No, I don't need to use phrases like that. I can talk to you about the issues involved. But at the end of the day, that's how he felt. And he said he didn't need to apologise to you for your go at homosexuality.
But Kevin, he also asked me, was I gay? Which is a totally unacceptable, which I'm not, of course, which is a totally unacceptable question to ask anybody. You would never do that. You would abide by the guidelines. Now, to say that in the middle of an interview and give the other chap who was with me, who was advocating the other issue, the other side of the issue, he got no questions at all. His only question was, when did you win Strictly Come Dancing?
I think they were surprised by your stance, your approach.
I didn't even get a chance.
There's no middle ground with you, Jim Wells.
They didn't even get a chance, give me a chance to say what I believed. They went straight into attack and called me everything under the sun. I mean, that was the problem. Had they listened to my point of view and then attacked me, but they didn't. They went straight into a rant with Susanna and Pierce, a rant against me personally.
Since then, you've made a complaint.
I have. I've made lots of complaint with the Ofcom because I believe they've breached their guidelines. And I know that you, as a highly experienced journalist, would not have done that because you know what the guidelines say.
There are guidelines, but at the end of the day, they said what they felt at the time. And I think they were shocked by... They described it as bigotry.
But they never got a chance to hear whether it was bigotry or not. That's the point I'm making. And the second point is, even you, with your vast experience, realised that there were things that happened there that would not happen in any other media show.
Well, I watched it, and the first thing I said, what's he doing there? Like, what were you doing there?
I was invited.
Yeah, but why?
Why was I invited?
Why were you there?
Because I was invited.
Nothing to do with your 25,000 people in South Down, my friend.
And I could love to show you my social media and show how many of them...
Do they all dance?
I'm certain some of them do, but they dance...
If I was to show you photographs now, I have photographs of soldiers in the First World War dancing together. I have photographs of various bands like Boyzone and Westlife and Take That dancing together. And a lot of those people are happily married family people. They don't have a problem. I we get up right now and dance with you if you're happy enough to
I
do it.
Decline that offer. What I would say to you, Kevin, is that wasn't the point I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make was that Strictly Come Dancing was family viewing, and the BBC up until 2 weeks ago had agreed with me. They said it wasn't appropriate to have same-sex couples dancing, and I was asking the question, why had it changed and why was it being put on before the war?
Define dance.
Dances two people on a floor moving to music in unison.
No, it's a way to express yourself, is it not?
So you and I know that the decision to allow same-sex couples are much wider. It was a single decision.
It doesn't matter. If you get up and dance, it's dancing. It's joyous. It's expressing yourself. It's the freedom. It's liberation. It's movement to the beats of the music. Surely we all do that at times.
Yes, and the BBC, until 2 weeks ago, felt...
Well, you were doing your rallies and your protests and your elections. Did you not jump up and down with joy when you won?
Yes, I did, but I didn't.
So other people would have jumped around you, and I'm sure some of your colleagues... And if there was a photograph taken at the time, it may look... like you're all dancing together.
I didn't break into a tango or...
Have you ever hugged another male person?
I've hugged my son. Yes, I have. But not...
But you hugged me when I arrived here earlier on.
I certainly did. You shook your hand, and that's as far as I'm going to take it, I can assure you. But, you know, you and I know that the BBC decision was much more important than that. The BBC were making a policy decision that it was acceptable for homosexual and lesbian couples to dance together on live TV before the watershed.
I think what Pierce was trying to say to you was that the fear of hugging someone, or wouldn't be the first time someone has hugged me or kissed me or whatever. And that's just an expression at the time. That's just showing love or showing a bond or whatever. It's not necessarily anything else, but you shouldn't be afraid of that. If you've no boundaries and you're not afraid of being a human being, a person that shows compassion and love, that shouldn't be the case. If you're a true Christian, yeah, that shouldn't be the case. You should always be able to express yourself and show love to one another, no matter whether you're male, female, whatever.
But Kevin, there are many thousands, if not millions, of people in the United Kingdom who are uncomfortable with that. And the point I was making was...
But it's 2019. If you go into nightclubs, which I do every weekend, you'll see lots of guys dancing with each other, and they're dancing for joy. And it's probably the loveliest thing you could see, because it's people bonding and being together.
Yeah. And there are many people who do not want to see that before the watershed on BBC Strictly Come Dancing.
That's your opinion.
But the point is, there has been a massive... a degree of complaint to the BBC about that decision, as there was about the
again, that's your opinion.
As there was about the decision to have a homosexual wedding on Songs of Praise 2 weeks earlier, and that was making a very strong political statement that is the way forward for our society.
Is it not fair to say that you're homophobic, full stop?
No, I'm not. I have homosexual friends. I get on with them very well, some of whom want nothing to do with the militant campaign that's going on behalf of them by things people like the Rainbow Coalition. They don't speak for the entire LBGT community. They're a militant.
And they would accept that as well. They would say that. That's fair enough. You either join or you don't join. It's as simple as that. Yeah. It's like the DUP. I'm not a member of the DUP, but we put up with the DUP as much as we put up with other political parties who are elected to represent us in government but refuse to go into government. So how do you think we all feel? Let's take it back to that.
Six parties have been elected to represent us and want to go in immediately, and one party is refusing to go. Alliance?
No. I don't think that's fair, because who's the one party we're talking about?
Sinn Féin will not.
See, Sinn Féin would say it totally different. They would say they can't come back in because the DUP refused to meet them halfway.
Yes, but you do that on the floor of the Assembly. You don't take the ball away.
That's your opinion. They think differently, and they're entitled to their opinion too. And they're not here to defend themselves, so we can't really go into that.
They certainly will not get as difficult an interview from you as you're giving me, I can assure you of that, because you'll say, why are you the most wonderful political party on the planet, will be the sort of questions they'll get from you. But the point I'm making, Kevin, is that the parties representing almost 80% of the people of Northern Ireland want to go back in the morning. The place to argue those demands is on the floor of the Assembly, not to bring the institutions crashing down.
But you don't have a say on that, Jim. You don't have a voice anymore. The DUP have made that very clear. The whip's been taken away from you. So you're on your own.
Yes.
So you're not effective. You're not effective.
Well, I leave that to the 8,000 people in Southdown who vote for me.
We're talking 8,000 and not 25 now.
25 years, 8,000 people.
Okay, so it's 8,000 people. And Jim, tell me this. Where do you go now? If there's another election, will you get a seat with the DUP? Will you be able to stand and represent the DUP again?
I don't know. I don't know what the view on that will be. It'll depend as there are other people who wish to take the nomination. I have many difficult decisions to make at the moment because I've been there 25 years, Kevin. That's a long, long time. I'm the fellow of the house, the longest serving MLA, may have been the person to serve at Stormont the longest ever. I don't know. I'll have to check the records. 25 years is a long old stint. And of course, as you know, I've got personal family issues as well to deal with. And I haven't made that decision yet. But what I do know is that the reception I'm getting from the unionist community in Southdown is extremely good. I'm extremely happy with how people have reacted to the stance that I've taken in recent weeks. I mean, there's a church in Southdown on Sunday morning, there'll be 800 people there. None of them will support what you're saying.
Did you get a message from your leader who perhaps was having breakfast while watching GMTV the other morning?
No, I didn't. I got lots of messages from DUP MLAs and supporters, but not from Ireland. I think
and were they positive?
Very positive. Very, very positive indeed. And what I'd say is I think Ireland's got more important fish to fry than to worry about an obscure backbencher like myself.
So when you were in London, did you meet up with your colleagues?
I was actually intending to, Kevin, but what happened was after the Piers Morgan interview, the phone went red hot and I spent most of the day fielding press inquiries. I got nowhere, nothing done because there was such media attention to what I said and what he said, most of it saying that what he did was absolutely disgraceful, and that was coming from the media.
So the interview didn't go the way you expected?
Definitely didn't. No, I was expecting to be... It was meant to be a light-hearted interview because the previous debate had been on Brexit, very heavy, Ian Duncan Smith. They wanted a light little piece in the middle before they went back to Brexit. And I was expecting, you know, a bit of sort of banter between me and and Piers Morgan on it. And I was briefed accordingly. I was told that that was what it was going to be twice. But what actually happened was it was a bear pit experience.
In a phone call to me later, you said all is forgiven back home here with you guys.
I say, Kevin, after facing Piers Morgan, you're a little pussycat. I thought you were tough and rough and difficult. But actually, compared to Morgan and to Susanna Reid, you're a gentleman. I don't agree with the word you say, but you're a gentleman when it comes to interviewing. So at least it's
made... You didn't say that to me this morning, though.
Well, it's made me appreciate what we have.
You told me I was a bad boy.
Well, you are. But, I mean, you're a bad boy who's wrong and very misguided, but at least you do obey the rules when it comes to interviews.
Jim Wells, as always, thank you.
Thank you. No problem at all.